Okay, so I think we're up to the most challenging part of this, I think, the whole sugya. And that is, I'm not even talking about the Rambam yet, because the Rambam is also going to be very challenging. That's why I keep saying, like, it's always fun to do this top-down, because when I learned the sugya, I came from the bottom up. So I read the Rambam, and I thought, oh, that's Torah B'Sinai. But the Rambam's position is actually very, 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 very difficult. It's not so easy to understand, which I know, we'll see why it's problematic. But first, we have to understand the Gemara, right? So let's just review the Gemara. So the Gemara, step by step. So the Gemara tells us that, in the following order, the Gemara says that a person's obligated to... Now, this part I don't want to focus on yet. When we take up the issue of, are women chayev in Simcha, right? We'll go into this idea of Misameh, okay? I think it's tied to that. So let's just assume for now, we're going to reread the Gemara as a saying that I have an obligation to be happy on Yom Tov. Just keep it like that, to make it simple, okay? So you're obligated to be happy in Yom Tov, right? Now, how are you happy with wine? So the Gemara first often says right across the board is wine, all right? Which is seen to be universal. And there's this shita we'll call Tanakama. Tanakama saying, what is the substance of simcha for yantav? Wine. So if it's your woman, I don't care, child, whoever you are, this is what you're obligated to do. And then the Gemara comes along and says, not so fast. But Yehuda says no. He says, for men, what's good for them, and for women, what's good for them. Now, of course, this runs into a serious problem, because if Rav Yehuda is saying factually that women don't get happiness from wine, so how did Tanakhama ever introduce wine as a possibility? We have to understand what Rav Yehuda is saying, because if he's saying it's a factual thing, if women are not, if it's not roi, whatever that means, for them to have wine, so then what is Tanakhama going to say back to that? Right?
It is roi.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're done.
That's it.
Don't answer that yet. What? Ask the woman.
Okay.
And then the Gemara says, so for men it's wine. For women, it seems to be, we'll call it, I'm not defining it, but we'll call it category clothing. And then there's two expressions of that, or two different examples. Depending on where you live, there's, let's call the high end, Saks Fifth Avenue. And then the low end, we'll say, is Target. Okay? Good. And then the Gemara says, the Gemara, almost as if like an afterthought, says, by the way, another Bryce that it tells you, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, Simcha only existed through meat. Basar korban, okay? Only the meat of the korban, that's it. But after destruction of the temple, so now, ein simcha ela b'yayin, all right? Not basar, by the way, just wine. Remember, don't think, you didn't read the Rambam yet. So just wine. And then it brings a pasuk to justify that. So what do we do with this Gemara? There's a lot of moving parts to this Gemara. This is the Gemara that's sort of bringing the idea of simcha. There's before, we've been dealing with the halachic contract of simcha, chati, etc. Now we're dealing with, not halacha l'maisa, but is what are you supposed to be misameach with, right? I don't mean this question to... okay, whatever. I'll just ask it, okay? In other words, we know from the Torah that what is simcha?
Basar.
Well, okay. What kind of basar? Korban basar. Not just shlamim. Okay, good. But korban meat, right? So, for example, in the times of the temple, if I had a steak over here and my korban meat over here, right, and I consume both, right, which one's giving me simcha? This one. Okay. Now, if I ask you on a natural level, right, just be honest, okay? If I ask you what makes someone happier, right, let's pretend the korma didn't exist for a second, hypothetically, okay? It didn't exist. Well, let's say. So what makes someone happier? So you got to remove the Rambam from it. It's so hard.
What
makes someone happier, a steak or wine? Straight up.
Wine.
Without question.
Steak.
No way. Yeah. No, because steak's not intoxicating. You meat makes your stomach feel very good. No question. Fine. But I could also argue other foods to that as well. But wine is a reason. It's not a coincidence they picked this pasuk. This is used in many other places. What wine does is there's something about wine that is a certain mental, psychological, an affect that takes place by wine that you're not going to have by meat. So I ask you, if you're, let's pretend you're sitting down, obviously I don't mean this literally, with God and you're working out. God says, listen, we want people to be happy in Yom Tov, right? So you're probably going to go with, I'm saying before korban, you're probably going to be like, well, wine, right? If you measured pure neuron simcha affect, wine would win out. Now, I'm not, now, okay, that's it. Now, are you suggesting, or is yayin today b'dieved?
No.
You see why that kind of...
I know what you mean, but it's not yayin.
So what's what I'm looking for? I don't want a negative connotation. Without slanting this Gemara through the Rishonim, if you just look at the Gemara as is, right? So we come up with a very interesting formulation, which is, again, my premise is that if we were asking for that intrinsic actions of simcha, or things that, or substances that by definition make someone happy, there's no question that wine takes the cake. I'm not arguing with Kapel. You're right. Halacha did, this happens to be the halachic substance of simcha. You're right. Haraya, what's a good raya for that? I know it's Drabanan. What's a good proof? That's why I'm like the kiddush. It's Purim, right? So you see that, that a lot of the Rishonim point to Yayin, like codified as what? No, a lot of them say, I think the Meiri is one who says. He says, like, that's the, yeah, that is the halakha. Yeah. Okay. No, so what happens? So during the time, of the temple, right? So the Korban Simcha, that is the God objective form of Simcha, right? It's irrelevant whether or not, we'll get to this soon, but it's irrelevant whether or not the substance itself makes you happy. I'm not saying it makes you sad. I'm just saying man's, the experience that man has is not as important as the fact that it's just the tzivoy. But now the base of Mikdash is destroyed, so now Chazal faced with an interesting predicament. Now it's interesting, they never took off the possibility, let's pretend it's Durbana for a second. They never took off the possibility of saying, what about Simcha?
No more.
So you could have conceived of that, right? It's not a crazy idea.
Well, it's, you see the philosophy, and then they try to put it onto the Darabana because the rest is not there anymore.
Right, okay. Well, at least certainly Tosos' version,
yeah,
right? Right. In other words, I want you guys to appreciate this point. In other words, there is a, in other words, theoretically, what a Chazal, what are the sages could have said after the destruction of the temple? That's it for Simcha, right? Meaning Anyantov. Anyantov, right, because once the mitzvah is gone, that's it, right? But you see, like, what would the day mean? What would the Yom be for the average Jew without at least some, there has to be some expression of it. Like this, it's certainly the rabbinical version. This is Chazal stepping in and filling in a void. So now, either you're going to say, do we say that it is this is the substance that produces Simcha, right? And that's it. Now, it's interesting to go down the other road, the social road. I mean, Ellie's right, but it's a very astonishing idea. It's very rare this happens. All right, like a Chazal avoid as much as possible polling the public, right? They don't do that. They don't like doing that, right? So I'm just curious, can you go a little further? Why is that the case? Like, why would they turn to society and say, okay, well, let's look at the normatives of Simcha? Okay? Now, again, we're trying to be careful here. We're allowing for some expression of subjectivity. I don't agree with you. I don't think it's like, I don't think these are simply like, yeah, I don't think so. I think it's that these are categories, meaning this is what makes, again, remember, the Rambam's going to add another one, which is going to be for the kids, right? Which is interesting. The Rambam's, very rare, the Rambam's willing to go far away from the Gemara. But in general, I can understand this idea, but why is that a consideration by Chazal? It's like a right. I mean, why not say with Yain? Yain's nice. It's subjective. We like those. We don't like choices. That's a very non-halachic idea. Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're going to flesh that idea much more when we get to the issue of women being chayav. But I think the only opening you're going to have for Mishameach working is to say something along those lines, which is that the nature of Simcha. In other words, once we're out of the temple area, the nature of Simcha allows always for some type of choice. I mean, go back to Revelation. There's an idea of like the ability for a person to have more than one way to express it. It captures that idea. That's got to be fleshed out more. We got to work more on that. I'm just saying, just note the anomaly here. It's very rare, very rare. The Gemara is going to say, "Let's find out what people think." Right? We don't like that. Chazal are this is what you need to do. It's not that they deny free will. It's just that like we just don't like polling the public. It's just not a normal thing. Okay, so let's take a look at the Rambam. Okay, so the Rambam is the first to actually. Oh, the Rif does, but not to the extent the Rambam does. The Rambam is now going to create the halachic standard for Simcha, okay? And we're going to read the entire piece. Start from, it's in Perek Vav, in Hilchos Yontov. Start from Halacha Yud Zayin. Shivat Yimei Pesach. Sefed, Hesped, Betinus. Okay, so rather than tell us, by the way, it's interesting, this is not so critical for our sugya, but it's interesting that the Rambam doesn't tell you the positive idea, rather just tells you that these days you're prohibited to, right, which means they're happy days, but he could have said you're chayv.
Not necessarily.
Really? Let's look at this formulation. This formulation of the Rambam, right? Every person's chayev to be happy. So that means myself, right? My kids, wife, members of my house, etc. All of them are obligated to be happy. Again, in this formulation, the Rambam's saying that chayev adam lios bahen sameach daliv. You're obligated to be on this day happy. Okay? Because it's just shenemar of samachta bechagecha. Keep going on. Hasimcha. So the Rambam is sending two messages in the statement. Okay, number one, he's telling you it's Daraisa, and number two, that how was this set up? How was it initially set up? Basar korban. right? So the idealized version of Simcha, or and the Beis Hamikdash version of Simcha is Korban Simcha. But also, everyone learns after this that the Rambam's clearly indicating that Simcha is Daraisa. Now, so even though the Simcha is through the Korban Shlamim by Simcha, Yesh B'chal Osa Simcha, right? In this, we saw the Sefer Mitzvos. In this overarching category, what do we have? Lismach. Right, so again, look at his language. Lismach, right? I'm not going to take this up yet, but Lismach. Lismach sounds like what? Does it?
No, it doesn't. It's to be happy.
It sounds like to be happy. You need to spend some more time with Rosh Rabbi.
Yeah.
Lismach sounds like to be happy, right? Not Lismach. Lismach. Now, of course, it sounds like in this formulation of the Rambam, I'm saying that everyone is obligated to be happy. Okay, to be happy on Yom Tov. Okay, yeah.
He formulates it as...
So good, Noam. So that's one. So Ketzad, so how do you do this Simcha? Okay. Okay, so for kids, what do? You give them candies. Okay. Does Gemara mention that at all? No. Excellent. So, good. So there's two ways you can learn the Rambam. Is it a Kiyum and Chinuch? No way. But I'll give you that. Or, what? But it goes back to this idea. There's this unique obligation on, let's say I'm the head of my household. There's a strange obligation on me, right, to go ahead and make my kids happy, right? Bring my kids to happiness.
He says what to give them.
Okay, so a little more than the Gemara, right? So for women, you buy them clothing and jewelry. Rama's upping up the ante a little bit because he only said clothing. Okay.
He says what you can afford, though.
Right. Now listen to this, okay? Okay, Vehanashim. Okay, now this is a huge problem, right? Because the Rambam decides to all of a sudden, out of the blue, introduce meat. Right, but the Gemara never say that. See, I don't mind if you want to go ahead and start expanding our subjectivity to say social, blah, 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 like you were saying, right? But it's interesting that the Rambam adds in basar. But you could tell me, maybe that is the normal, like, social thing. Except for one problem. The next line. No, forget that. The next line. Why does the Rambam then say the following? Keep going, Noam. That's a big problem. Because like this, had the Rambam just stopped there, so I could have relied back on the Weiss approach. Okay, social and general, but I agree with you, I know. The Ginsburg Weiss approach. So that, what do you call that? No, you ask what people like, right? So exactly. So you can say, so men, to this day, again, but the problem is that had the Rambam stopped and just said, by men, it's basar, then what we're saying will work fine. But then he has to come back and say, ein simcha ela b'basar, and ein simcha ela b'yayin. It's almost like he's telling you that, no, but these are like objective expressions of simcha. Why does he do that? And why does he separate out basar and yayin? That's going to require something creative. In other words, he could have said, ein simcha ela b'basar v'yayin, right? Or he could have just stopped, but he doesn't. He says, ein simcha ela b'basar, ein simcha ela b'yayin. But last I checked, the Gemara only says that after the temple is destroyed, in Simcha, El B'yayin. Yikes!
And also the Begadim.
Agreed. Right. And the Sefer Mitzvos is a much easier way to read, because that's just saying, we'll call him Kiyumim of Simcha, right? Good and social, blah, blah, blah. This is not what he's saying here.
No, he could be, it's implied that Gemara.
Well, right, so, and when you eat and drink, what do you have to do? You're obligated to go ahead and feed, right, those who are oppressed in society, i.e. the convert and the orphan and the widow, so all the poor people. Okay, so that's a different idea about how Simcha spread, right? But of course, if you close your doors, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why it's not a din in Halach Ma'anya, it's actually a din in Yantav. Yantav, you have to spread your Simcha to other people.
Okay.
Two things. Number one, when Noza Machlokas, Tosos, and Rambam, we did the Tosos briefly when he was jumping on my back about the fact that Tosos holds the Rabbanan, and I said back to him, let's wait, now's our time to expose that. Tosos holds this, he reads this Gemara as the Rabbanan, right? It's the Rabbanan. So we had Simcha Midoraisis Korban Simcha, and then this is the rabbinical version of it, which, by the way, okay, I like that. But the Rambam does not hold that way. The Rambam holds that today, and this is very important, by the way, because if you hold like the Rambam, and many, many line up to back up the Rambam, if you hold that Simcha is Doraisa today, you need to have your Basar V'yayin. It's a big, big issue. We're not talking about, I'm not trying to make a Darbanan less than a Doraisa, Chas V'chalila. I'm just saying, you don't want to be Mavatal, your Mitzvah Doraisa. And the Rambam, I'm saying, this is the formula. Meaning, according to the Rambam, if you didn't buy things to make your wife happy, right? Keep it loose like that. You got a big problem here. And of course, the other question is that, what exactly is that formulation? We'll wait till the women part. Because I still want to understand what it means to mesamech someone else. Well, okay, we'll wait till the women part. We'll get to that. Because the machlokes of the Gemara about that. So what do you say? So what's this for? How can the Rambam say that there's a, what do you call it? There's a simchas basar and simchas yayin. That's false. That's false. BP of the Gemara. The Gemara says only yayin. That's it. So Graber, let me emphasize that point. You're right, Graber. In other words, he must be saying that there's, I'm not going to say there are two different experiences yet, but he must be saying something different by saying there's a simcha basar and a simcha yayin.
Right, they're not one thing.
Right, it's you're right. They're two discrete expressions of simcha. I agree. Burke, yeah. So Josh is trying to say if we go back to the original korban, right, maybe in the original korban itself, there's more than one component of simcha. That's what you're trying to say. Without fleshing out what those components are yet. That's interesting. What do you guys think about that? Without taking the next step yet. I hope you're saying this. What he's trying to say is that, let's pretend for a second the Rambam skips the Gemara and goes back to the original Korban Simcha. Maybe when he says, Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar, Ein Simcha Ela B'Yayin, whatever those two ideas are, both those concepts exist in the Korban Simcha. Now you're going to have to go and explain, right? I'm saying, fine. Now you're going to have to explain how that translates into Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar, Ein Simcha B'Yayin. But I understand what you're trying to do. Which would definitely... So Tosus is easy, I think. Tosus, yeah. If you're going to say it's the Rabbanan, so it's like, I told you guys, it's like the classic like Sphira thing. Tosus is consistent, by the way. It does the same thing by Sphira. So in the times of the temple, so the mechanism of Simcha was Korban. Now it's destroyed, so what are Chazal going to do?
Create a
new one. What? Yeah. Right. And you can even argue that in some ways, when I'm not just careful, right? Say physiologically, it makes you even happier. In other words, Chazal can go ahead and really expand what they want to, if they take upon themselves this opportunity. That's easy, right? Okay, and now that's fine. Okay, so this is a reconstruction. It's a whole new mitzvah simcha according to Tosfos. So if you hold like Tosfos, your chiyuv on Yantav is a derabanan simcha, and it's a new obligation. It's not the deraisa obligation. It's a different one.
Are you saying it's better in regards to like by sphere also?
So in creating a new version of simcha Yantav, right? Okay. So, what? Okay, so why? Right, but how? Okay, but what is it about the yayin that makes it the closest thing? Not the substance, but what? Come on, what? The objectivity. In other words, do we still have to retain the halachic tzura? So the halachic tzura on deraisa is only this way. So they're not going to abandon that. Or what's the other side going to say? Exactly, right? And now I'm going to introduce what I call, borrowing from other philosophers, we'll call it the maximizing simcha principle. So let me go to society and go along and figure out what's the best, what's the MSP, right? You know what I mean? Maximizing simcha principle. Oh my God. So according to the Rambam, right? Is the Rambam saying in the times that he holds a deraisa. Now, is it the same deraisa temple versus post-temple?
Yes. No, he's saying within that simcha.
I'll tell you what I mean, Ellie. What do I mean? Is it? So let me ask you a question. It's certainly not the same performance. Because in the times in the temple, you'd agree, how to fulfill my obligation, korma simcha. And everything else, we'll call it, quote unquote, what you call it? Different expressions, right? So but that's not the ma'aseh mitzvah, right? Now let me ask you a question. When the temple's destroyed, what are these other things? What happens to these other things now? But you're not going to say we're left with what? We're left with... Why don't we apply the maximizing simcha principle into the Rambam himself and say the Rambam is saying we're always looking midoraisa for the greatest expression of simcha.
And when we have a mikdash garbon.
Right, exactly right. And when the temple's destroyed, right? We didn't get to that yet. All right. So now when the base of mikdash is destroyed, so when you meant to say naturally they fill in, it's not that as long as I apply MSP to the mitzvah deraisa, so the other things can naturally fill in.
They're not equal though.
That's a great raya. Beautiful. Oh, there it is, a Dramana. Anyway, it's a beautiful Raya. We know what he's saying? He's right. Because he's saying that by... very good. It applies by Pearsall as well, right? There's something called the maximizing Pearsall principle, MPP, which is that it's not that if I put it in my second floor, that's a bidyeved. It's not a bidyeved to put it on my second floor. It's saying that's the best I could possibly do. As the temple's destroyed, the best I could possibly do is this, before getting to Basar and Yayin for a second. Very good. That's a great Raya. Yes. Okay, but the Rambam still tells. Right, exactly. Why ain't Simcha Ela B'Basar and ain't Simcha Ela B'Yayin? What do we do with that? That's very hard.
First of all, where did you get it from? It doesn't